Hopefully that was a cute little diversion for our normal Sunday setting. Even though we are in the season of Easter, our lives may still feel like one long Lenten discipline of social distancing and fighting illness. Even as we proclaim the truth of Easter resurrection, it seems like Good Friday's shadow still looms long. We know that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is faithful. So let us explore it together and ask to be taught, to be healed, to be loved, and to be fed. So a Midwestern Episcopal bishop is known for telling the following story. A wise Indian, and believe it or not, they do prefer being called Indian, was asked by his grandson about the disease, conflict, and discord in the world. And the elder reflected for a moment and then replied, "My child, there are two dogs battling within my heart. One is full of anger, hatred, and rage. The other is full of love, forgiveness, and peace." And the old man paused, and he and his grandson sat for a moment in silence by the side of the stream. And finally, the boy spoke again, "Grandfather, which dog will win the battle in your heart? The one filled with hatred or the one filled with love?" And the old man looked at his grandson and replied, "The one I feed will win." Our world now reminds us how untamed and full of conflict we are. We see it daily on our televisions and read about it online. The world is a dangerous place. Whether we live in the Middle East, the mountains, or the American Midwest, the truth is the conflict we experience is not truly on our streets or in our neighborhoods, much less in lands far from us. The conflict is always fought out in the human heart. The Indian sage was right. Too many of us still feed the dogs of hatred and rage. Jesus knew this as well as we do, for his world was really not much different from our own today. Indeed, many of the conflicts of his time and his land are with us even today. Disease, refugees, poverty, the desire for power. The human heart does not change so quickly or easily. And the world today still has its share of thieves and bandits, as Jesus calls them in our gospel account, ready to snatch and scatter the flock. We in the West like to think that we are in control, that no one can hurt us if we just rely on technology, build a wall tall enough to keep others out, or use our superior intellect and resources as we go on believing that no problem is intractable, that it cannot be solved. All we need, we are tempted to believe, is a little common sense and some well-honed advances in technology. After all, that is how things get done. Yet events of the past few months must make us doubt our most cherished convictions. We actually do not have our act together. And we remain as vulnerable to our own sinfulness, gullibility, and the sweet talk of contemporary life as to sneaky viruses, far-off terrorists, and revolutionaries. Left to our own devices, I'm guessing we certainly would not have chosen dirty, stupid, vulnerable sheep as the appropriate image for ourselves as Christians who populate this sleek postmodern world of digital efficiencies and sophisticated technological solutions. Surely, we share precious little DNA with ewes and rams, after all. Yet, as one animal behaviorist reminds us, we spent quite a long time evolving together with our animal cousins. So, like it or not, we probably have more in common with the sheep of Jesus' story than we care to admit. Despite its thin veneer of order and discipline, humankind remains as messy and chaotic as is a flock of sheep without a shepherd. The shepherds of Jesus' day endured sun and rain for days or weeks on end and were often as dirty and smelly as the flocks they tended. No smartly styled business casual attire for them. But unlike their oblivious ovine charges, shepherds then as now were ever vigilant and uncomplaining, watching for danger and trouble, providing pasture and allaying the thirst of their flocks. The shepherd knew his sheep as no one else, and the sheep followed him, as Jesus tells us, because they know his voice. Jesus speaks of himself in this gospel passage as the gate for the sheep. Some scholars contend that shepherds of the period would often place their own bodies across the small opening or aperture of the sheep enclosure during times of peril, risking their lives for the sake of the flock. Perhaps it is this image of the shepherd as human gate that Jesus has in mind with this metaphor. His own presence stretched out as on a cross, bridging the disciples and our own base insecurities. Whoever enters by me, he assures us, will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. And we know how easy it is to lose direction, to lose our bearings and a sense of who we are and where we are going in our lives. It is all too easy, in other words, to go astray like lost sheep. But it is just then that we are most vulnerable to the thieves and bandits of the world, most vulnerable to the more destructive animal instincts that lurk in every heart, our own included. It is difficult to imagine vicious sheep, after all. Still, we are all too familiar with the well-known story of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Even today, there is wisdom in Aesop's ancient tale. Appearances can be deceiving. Each of us is capable of sin and hurt. There are always creatures at war within our hearts, hidden beneath our warm woolens and tasteful tweeds. Which of them do we feed? We are all fed by the great spirit of mercy and forgiveness this Easter season. People everywhere, ourselves included, are starving for the Spirit's love and compassion. We have come to the Paschal banquet ready to keep the feast, eager to partake of the Lord's abundance and be nourished for the journey ahead. But the world around us is still a place of disease, famine, and danger. And the human heart ever yearns to hear the voice of the shepherd, who brings peace and God's reconciling love. As we have been fed, so must we now feed others. In Christ's name,